good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm J. Marie Schaefer.
And good morning. I'm Phil Vacchio.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show, where we talk about estate planning, wills, trusts, probate, and Medicaid, and all kinds of things related to estate planning. And it is a call-in show. You can give us a call at 518-476-5900. And, you know, don't be afraid to call in. I met with a client this week who said, I wanted to ask you a question on the radio, but I was so afraid to call in.
Oh, don't be shy.
Yeah, I know. Don't worry about it. But she came in to see me to ask the question anyway.
That's okay, too.
But I said, no one's mean to you.
Right? No, not at all. No, I'm here happy to talk to you, answer the phone, and don't be afraid.
John's very pleasant when you call in. Don't be shy.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
So how are you doing this morning?
Doing okay.
Yeah. Kids are back to school.
You know, bit of a crazy week in the world with 9/11 and shootings and that going on. So just trying to focus on the good.
Yes, that's right.
Work, family, all the above, you know.
Are your kids starting their fall sports yet?
Yeah. That's in full swing. We got flag football, field hockey, full baseball, and Brazilian jiu-jitsu simultaneously. So...
Well, we're sadists, you know.
We like to punish ourselves.
That is crazy.
And keep you busy.
It does, but the kids love it, so that's okay. It's all right.
It's good for them.
It is.
Yeah, that's fun.
Keeps them outside, off the screens, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
Keeps you and your wife busy too.
Yeah. That's an understatement.
Yes, that's right.
How are things for you, Jamie?
Oh, good. Peaceful.
Yeah.
We're not running around to sports, but that's good.
Well, you've been there, done that.
I have been there and done that.
You did your time.
I did my time. You get released at some point.
At some point, yeah. I got many years before that happens, though.
Right. Then you fall into having to do all those house projects that you ignored for all the years when the kids were at sports.
It's always something, I'm sure. Yes. Different stages of life. So we have our Queensbury office ribbon cutting next week. That's exciting.
That is exciting. That office is beautiful. It's really...
Came together nicely, right?
Came together very nicely. It's going to be, you know, great on Wednesday. Everyone who can come can get to see it.
What time is it going to be?
It's Wednesday at 10 a.m.
10 a.m., okay.
The office address up there is 719 Bay Road in Queensbury.
The big ribbon cutting.
Big deal.
Nice.
Some of the local chambers and county officials are going to come by.
That's great.
A bunch of our networking people and whoever else wants to come.
If anyone's free and in the area, definitely stop by. You get to tour the office, have a little...
Just some hors d'oeuvres.
That's right.
Come say hi. Meet the staff. Meet us.
Going to be a good day.
Should be a good day.
Yeah.
What's the weather looking like, John, on that day?
Wednesday, pretty good. It's unusual. It's going up into the 80s.
Hey.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, according to the forecast now.
All right.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So maybe we'll be out there sweating for the pictures.
So now I have to change what I'm wearing.
Right now, it says Wednesday, Wednesday, partly sunny, high 82. So I'll take that.
That's perfect.
So by 10 in the morning, it'll be, you know, in the early 7 or low 7.
Yeah. Sounds perfect to me.
75 maybe.
So we can be outside and they'll be beautiful.
Should be a good day. No rain.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Yeah.
No rain in the forecast. Wonderful. Yeah. So yeah, come up and join us there. It'll be fun. So I have some topics today, Jane Marie. I'm going to let you choose from. Pick your pleasure. I'll read them off. First one is formalities matter. Then we have Hulkster's estate. We'll talk about that a little bit because that's been in the news again. Some new information released. You don't have to spend all your money. And I wish my parents would have listened. What do you want to go with?
They're all pretty good.
But I think I'll go with number two because we always like to hear about these.
About Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, celebrity.
I didn't hear anything new.
So one or two days ago, it got released. Some new news in the estates. Everyone knows by now he passed away. And oftentimes when a celebrity passes away, some public figure, one of the biggest news items is what's happening to the estate and who's fighting and this and that. And sometimes we hear a lot. Sometimes we hear not very much because they did proper planning, right?
They did a trust, right?
Yep. So in this case, I think Hulk Hogan was married three times. But he was married to his third wife not too long ago, and he has and he has two kids. So the big question was, what were they going to get? Was there going to be anything? Was there going to be any news about it? So apparently the will was filed with the probate court down in Florida where he resided. So once, we know, once a will gets filed, everything becomes public record.
But yes, that's right. It's available to the public.
Anyone can log into any of the, well, assuming that that county has online access, you can log into some kind of, with their version of their web court services, and you can pull up certain court documents, or you could also go into the court and ask to see it, or use their systems on the in the courtroom. But so it got filed, all the paperwork involved, and it says first off, it says the estate's worth about $5 million, and I'm gonna venture out and say that's a low
estimate. Say that's pretty low.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Probably because there's other stuff that's not involved in the actual court proceeding.
Right. So you can have trusts that have money that don't get reported through the court.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you look at the court paperwork, like when we file for a probate and we fill out those forms and the petition for probate, et cetera, there's a section about assets, but typically you're only listing the assets that the you're expecting the will to control.
Right.
Right. The things that didn't pass by beneficiaries and trusts and whatnot. So that was one part of the equation there. And then the second part was he left everything to his one son and explicitly disinherited his daughter. And I guess there was some news where she asked for that. And
interesting. Yeah.
A lot of turmoil going on in the relationship with the daughter, but it explicitly didn't list her. And then it also didn't list the third wife. So a few things where that gets interesting to me. And
That's going to be a problem.
Yeah, right. So
probate court's going to be fun.
Probate court. This might get blown up into something. Public battle. But so the one thing that you look there, that seeing that the wife wasn't left anything. Now again, we don't know what's not in the estate itself.
We don't know if there was a trust that left money to her.
We don't.
We don't.
We do know that he owned a significant real estate in Florida that apparently was not listed in the will, or in the probate proceeding.
Right.
And I think it said it was owned by some kind of combination of LLC and a trust. So we know a trust exists.
Right.
So obviously there's other assets other than this $5 million going through probate. So what we don't know there is that third wife getting any portion of those assets?
That's right.
Because Florida, similar to New York, is what we call an elective state. So the spouse, the surviving spouse, unless there's a prenup or a postnup in place where they contractually agreed otherwise... The spouse is entitled to a share.
You can't disinherit your spouse.
Cannot disinherit your spouse through a will, through a trust, through beneficiary designations. Has to be.
No matter how much you dislike them, you can't disinherit them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
So let's assume for the moment that the trust also and the beneficiary designations also leave the wife, the third wife, nothing or at least a very small amount.
Right.
In Florida, the what we call the right of elective share for the spouse is 30% of the estate.
Okay. Some similar to New York.
Similar. New York's a third. Greater of 50,000 or a third.
Right.
So depending on what happened here and who knows how much Hulk Hogan did to plan for this, because I think they were only married not too long. I don't even know if the will was updated after he got married. But she might get a lot more than we're seeing here, even if he left her nothing.
That's true. On the other hand, if she can file in court her right to that elective share and say, even though he left me out of the will, I'm entitled to a third of that money.
Exactly.
And then that's going to be a fight in the court.
Yeah. And usually that's something that she has to proactively do. It's not like an automatic, hey, you didn't
get the third.
Right. She has to file certain paperwork to claim it. But that could be... And that could be for everything. I mean, not just the $5 million in the estate. It could be for what's in the trust. It could be for what assets have beneficiaries on them.
Yeah, like everything is included in that.
Yeah. So I think there's going to be a lot more to be seen there. And then who knows with the daughter. So, you know, again, the news says, and she's publicly made statements that she asked to be left out because she anticipated a big to-do and fights after he passed away and didn't want to be involved in it. So she asked to be written out, apparently.
Which is odd.
I don't think it won't waive any rights that she has if she decides to pursue contesting it.
Right. Now, interestingly, children don't have any automatic right to the estate.
No, you can disinherit your child if you like.
Disinherit all your kids if you want to. But she could come in and say, something was wrong with the will. You know, he was influenced by my brother, you know, because everything went to the son.
Or the third wife. I think that would be the go-to scapegoat, right?
Or the third wife. That's right. So she could always file an objection to the will because she is someone who would inherit had he not had a will.
Yeah. So when we hear situations like that quite often mm-hmm. where individuals say, I want mm-hmm. to either the very disproportionate mm-hmm. share to one of the kids, or mm-hmm. I have a couple of estranged children and I'm leaving them out. I don't want them or
right.
any kids they may have to inherit anything from my estate. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's a red flag to us.
Yes.
Right. When someone comes in and tells you that and we're like, but I just want a will.
Right.
What are you saying to them?
I'm saying we should do a trust.
Yeah.
For all those reasons that the trustee is out of yeah. probate. Now you're not automatically in court where your children have a right to contest the will.
I always say to those clients, it's very hard to win a will contest.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's very easy to contest. Like the act of contesting is quite simple. All you have to do is appear in court by a certain date or write to the court that you're contesting. Mm-hmm. And at the very least, that's going to throw a monkey wrench into the thing and cause substantial delays. And
yeah, you guys always say it could take endless number of months. And
Months, John.
Or maybe forever.
Yeah. I mean, in New York, the simplest of probates where everyone's a happy little family takes about a year.
Right. And the contested estates, we have some, you have to file a report if the estate's not closed.
Yeah.
So we have one contested estate. It's the 7 years since the person died.
And the court loves that, right?
Yeah. They're like, why can't you figure it out by
close that estate. Yeah. Oh, you want it off our docket.
Oh, I know. Man. Well, there's, I think there were 9 kids in this case fighting. Ooh. So we can't reach a conclusion.
I can see.
Yeah. And as you can imagine, those fights denigrate into not rational fights at a certain point. So mm-hmm.
yes,
keep going on and on.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Boy.
Mm-hmm. With Hulk Hogan, I would be surprised if he did not have a prenup. And
well, would you?
I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know if I'd be surprised. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I'd be surprised if his lawyers didn't advise him.
That's hopefully the case.
Prenup.
Whether or not he actually followed their advice, it's a whole other.
Right.
You know. But I love her, Jane Marie. But she would never do anything, Jane Marie.
Oh,
I know.
You know.
I have a. A case right now where both parties have significant wealth from prior, and they're getting married without a prenup. And
oh dear!
I'm like, really? No, I love her. This is his third marriage, you know.
Yeah.
So actually, it's really a similar case. And
it's such a hard conversation to have, and oftentimes we're having it because we have a lot of clients that are, you know, second, third marriages, and sometimes there's kids from prior relationships, and we have to.
Got to look at all of that stuff.
Yeah, we have to play devil's advocate and just point out to them, listen, you guys do what you want, but here's what could happen. Here's how this could go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I point out a lot of times, too, even if you have full trust and faith in this person you're not married to,
right.
when you pass away, let's say that person meets somebody else, and that somebody else influences their actions.
That's what we try and tell them.
Or commingles it with their other assets, right?
And usually it's the end goal is to get it to your children, but if you leave it all to that spouse, they're not necessarily going to leave it to your children.
Right.
So there's ways we can plan around that, but people don't see that. They're just in love. Right.
Yeah. And the whole idea of signing a prenup is so like it's going to dirty or soil the relationship. But again, at that point in your life, you have to look at it practically and hopefully the other person understands that. And
I have a few clients who do it. I wouldn't say it comes around a lot, but who think ahead and it's a second marriage or third marriage. And they're like, what's mine is mine. What's yours is yours. We each have our own kids. Very practical.
Yeah.
And they sign a prenup. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes too, I had this past week. It was a client whose son just went through the messy, messy divorce. And they were like, you know, we like this new woman that he's with now that he married, but we don't want that to happen again. And we want to make sure in the future if he gets divorced and he has inherited our assets that she doesn't get anything. And I was like, well, then you're talking to your son again about either getting a prenup or being smart enough to keep assets separately. And that's a conversation to have for your kids that's tough.
That's right. Yeah. And we'll be right back after this break.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And I'm Phil Vacchio.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show. If you have any questions, you can give us a call at 518-476-5900. It can be about wills, trusts, prenups, perhaps.
We haven't got a caller in a while. I did have like two or three clients this week say they're radio listeners, so yeah. I know they're listening.
Oh, I know. I have calling. People tell me all the time that they listen, yeah. Which is good. They also say they see us on TV, and I'm like, I cringe.
Yeah, I'm getting that comment more and more.
A good TV ad.
Thanks,
you all look great.
Oh, thank you, John.
Even Phil.
Even me.
Even Phil,
yeah,
you know. That's right.
All right, so I think we beat up on Hulk Hogan enough.
I think we did, yeah. But I think you should plan your estate carefully if it's a third marriage. Yeah.
Especially. Or fourth. Or fifth. You know.
Right.
Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. All right, so we have three remaining topics, Jane Marie. I'll go over them again. You
okay.
Choose. So we have formalities matter.
Mm-hmm.
We have you don't have to spend all your money.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish my parents would have listened.
I like the last one. I wish my parents would have listened.
All right.
Okay.
So this is a consult I had yesterday, and we had a couple who were longstanding clients of Harry Miller's.
Yes.
So they started working with Harry many years ago.
The great Harry Miller.
Yeah, yep. We love Harry.
And they got passed off to me to start taking care of him after Harry left. So I had met with them actually a couple times in only the few years I've been with the firm.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, within the span of a year, they have both deceased, both passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday I was talking with the daughters, actually.
Right.
And dad passed away last year. He was sick for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, unfortunately, very unexpectedly in cancer and really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad. Very nice woman.
Mm-hmm.
So the daughters call me, and what do we do now?
Mm-hmm.
And I pull up the file, look at everything, and I see that this couple is one that just did what we call basic estate planning. Well, to a degree. So basic meaning wills, power of attorneys, healthcare proxies. They never did a trust or anything like that.
Okay.
Their wills were somewhat complicated because they did them many years ago when there was much lower estate taxes.
Okay, yep.
So we had what we call like bypass language in there.
Bypass trust.
A little more complicated version of a will, but still just a will.
Okay.
So we get to talking with the daughters, and you know, last time I met with your mother, I remember I encouraged her to make sure there was beneficiaries on all the accounts, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Sounds like, for the most part, she followed my advice and got that task done.
Mm-hmm.
But they mentioned one bank they went to mentioned something about proof from the court of that you're the executor, and you know, to me, what does that mean to you, Jane Marie? Right when you hear that,
that means we have to go to probate because there was no one on that account.
That's what it sounds like. You know, and I said they didn't even have death certificates yet. So I said, when you have a death certificate, just go back one more time and see a different representative.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't quite know what they're talking about. But, you know, and there's the house. So they still did own the house regardless. Like I said, they never put it into a trust.
Okay.
So even if they did actually put the beneficiaries on the account, we were going to have to probate for the house regardless. And I had this guy, and one of the daughters had been there the last time I met with the mother last year. And again, I revisited the trust.
Right.
And she was like, Phil, after that meeting, I tried my best to get my mom to follow your advice. And, you know, she just wouldn't. And now we have to go through this whole court proceeding. And I really wish my parents would have just listened.
That's right.
And, you know, we can only do so much to, you know, guide our parents. It's ultimately their decisions. And in this case, it's only two kids. So not the worst thing in the world. But again, I told them we're going to be together now for about a year. And
yes, that's right.
Yeah, you know, we're going to make it as easy as possible. But it's unfortunate because something that could have really, really been easily avoided.
Can you read my writing there, Jane Marie?
I thought John it said JM, which message. Is my name, but it's actually Jim.
Yes, yes.
So we do have a caller. So we have Jim from New Scotland.
That's great.
Hi, Jim.
Hi,
Jim.
My wife and I have a trust, an irrevocable trust, and I just became aware of the revenue ruling in 2023, revenue ruling 2, about the stepped-up cost basis and something about assets. In order to get the stepped-up cost basis upon death, the assets have to be included in the estate. I looked at my trust, and I didn't see anything saying that the assets had to be included in the estate. What do I do next in the estate?
So, so we've had a lot of people calling about that, and luckily our trusts are included in the estate, and it doesn't say that explicitly. I know that's what you were looking for. But there's a couple of tax, language in there that makes it includable in your estate.
Jim, did we do the trust, or this is from a different attorney's office?
No, you didn't do didn't do the trust.
Oh, I thought you said that we did.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry then. Okay. We'd have to
see the trust.
We'd be happy
to look at your trust. Mm-hmm. But Jane Marie is saying, because we're very familiar with our trusts, and not that we do the same type of trust, but for the most part, they're very similar in nature. And with these irrevocable trusts, oftentimes, Jane Marie, the main goals are, one, avoiding probate, and two, protecting assets from the cost of long-term care. So very similar goals. And with those kind of trusts, we retain certain rights. So Jim, like in your trust, it might reference rights like what we call a power of appointment, which is your authority to still change beneficiaries.
It has that.
Yeah.
And I also retain the income rights.
You can retain income rights.
That's another power.
It might have a power of substitution where you can take an asset of equal value that's out of the trust and swap it with an asset in the trust of equal value. So if it has these rights, and again, we'd have to really read your trust in more depth. But if it has those rights, what that means is that it's still includable in your taxable estate.
Okay.
Which is the key here, even with that recent revenue rule.
Yeah, that's the key to getting a step up in basis. Right?
Okay.
So likely you do, but again, not having seen your document, I can't say that with absolute certainty.
But it sounds like those two powers you probably have. And
now, my estate wouldn't be includable. I wouldn't certainly not reach the estate tax thresholds when my wife and I die. So is this a moot question?
Well, yeah, that's a good when we're looking at the situation or whoever the attorney is, that's a consideration, right? Because if we're approaching the estate tax threshold, we're doing different kind of planning as well, not just the one trust you referenced oftentimes.
Right. Yeah, but if you're not, then...
Then it's a moot point.
Yeah, then it is a moot point.
It's a moot question. Okay, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, Jim.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we get so many calls.
We get so many calls about
that revenue ruling from 2023. And, rightfully so, because it did change the rules where irrevocable trusts used to get that step up. But we've had, we've confirmed and with many different sources that certain powers, if you retain those, still entitle your estate to get the step up in basis. And just for our other listeners, Jane Marie, what is the step up in basis that Jim was referring to?
Yeah, that's really important to have, and we'll go into a little bit because so many of our clients bought their houses in the 60s, the 70s.
Yeah, for $10 or something. I hate to hear that.
$10,000, $15,000.
Yeah, it's incredible.
$30,000, like that, and it's just mind blowing to hear that that's what you bought your house for. And let's say you bought it for $30,000 and it's worth $300,000 today. So that's a huge gain, and you want that step up in basis, because otherwise, if you just gifted it to your kids and then they sold it, they'd have to pay tax on all of that gain.
Yeah, so $10,000 to $300,000, paying tax, capital gain tax on $290,000 of gains in that example would be incredible.
That's right. But luckily, the law, this is a tax break it gives you, says that anything that's in your estate when you die gets a step up in basis. So you reset the basis now to the value at your date of death.
Yeah. And what's really important there is it's your taxable estate. So we always talk about, you guys said we want to avoid stuff going through our estate, but that's a probate estate where it has to go through court. We're just talking about assets that are still includable in your taxable estate for IRS purposes.
Right.
And that includes things that you have beneficiaries on that are in revocable or most irrevocable trusts that retain proper powers.
Right.
So those assets still get the step up in basis they would have otherwise gotten if they passed through your will.
Right. And a lot of people do want their real estate, their home, to get that step up in basis because of this just
That's the biggest deal because, like you said, people the price people paid for homes a long time ago versus what they're worth now, real estate's grown by incredible amounts.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I know there's been like rumblings here and there of like the government trying to take away that supplement basis. I think there would be a national revolt.
That would be. Because that affects everyone.
I mean, can you imagine? I went down on Long Island and, you know, you're from Queens, Jane Marie. People that came over, like, from wherever, Ireland, Italy, they bought an apartment building or a lot in Brooklyn or Queens for like $20,000.
Yeah.
Those are the people nowadays who the next generation is worth like $50 million by doing nothing.
Right.
Because the property's increased in such value and they didn't have to pay taxes when they inherited it.
Now I'm curious as to what I don't know what my grandparents bought our house in Flushing for.
You should look up what the value is now.
I need to look that up.
Yeah. I bet you it's...
Because I think they bought it in 1950 something. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be dying for that
to see what that is worth.
Yeah, yeah. Check that out.
Right. It's a moot point because it's gone. We sold it years ago. But
oh, okay.
I know. But just to see what it could have been.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Jim's question: a lot of the trusts we do, for almost all the trusts we do, at least for the most part, get that step up in basis. Luckily, still, even with that revenue ruling.
Yes, that's right.
So we got a short time here, two left. So let's see. We have formalities matter, and you don't have to spend all your money. I'm going to choose for you because one of those topics is a longer conversation than the other.
Okay. All
right, for sake of time here.
Yes, sure.
So formalities matter. So back in the probate world, we're have a current case going on at our office, where there's actually it's two wills are involved because a mother died and never probated. And then one of the daughters died in the meantime, who was a beneficiary. So in that case, unfortunately, because the daughter who survived the mother is a beneficiary, we have to probate her will.
We need two estates going.
Yeah, so for both of them. So, but the mother's will is quite old, and it didn't have a self-proving witness attestation or affidavit at the end.
Oh, that's...
Which is, we don't see it that often, but sometimes... Especially with the older wills.
Yeah, that is.
We come across it. So what that is, it's, you know, when in New York, when you sign a will, there's formalities. There has to be two witnesses. Those witnesses have to sign after the signature of the testator, the person creating the will. But then there's also this additional page after that, that the witnesses have to sign that basically says things in there like, I was present, the person... was competent, could read and write in the English language, and signed it in front of me.
That's right.
Yeah. So we call that a self-proving witness affidavit. And if that is not present with the will, when we go to try to probate it, the court requires us to go out and try to find those witnesses and have them sign something after the death of the will creator.
That's right. It sounds to me like it's an old will, and I wonder where those witnesses are.
Well, that's a great question, Jane Marie. We don't know. We know one we can't find, and we know one is deceased, who was the attorney. And so the court, since we can't get either one to sign, the court's requiring us to get a handwriting affidavit.
Oh, wow. That's for one of the witnesses. Like a murder mystery TV show. That does not happen too often.
The grieving spouse of the attorney who passed away will simply not cooperate and get back to us. And we're having a lot of difficulties here, and it's creating significant delays. And our client is not happy about that, despite us explaining the situation to them. But the court's not budging on this, and now we're trying to pursue different avenues and find different individuals who were maybe involved, who knew this man.
Right.
So it's creating quite a mess here, even more than our normal probate stuff.
Yeah, that is tough, and I know we don't have a lot of time, but sometimes that's the problem with doing it online. I've seen this a lot. If you do an online will, you don't do that witness affidavit.
Yeah, you don't know that you're supposed to.
Because you don't know that's necessary. Or I saw someone recently do their own will online, and they had one witness.
Yeah, which is just not the New York rule.
So it's not going to work.
Maybe they were using like an online template from a different state that didn't require to. Who knows?
No, there were two lines, but he only had one witness sign it.
Just ignore the second line. Right? Good
idea. Always consult an attorney when you're doing your wills.
Very good.
Have a great
weekend, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.